श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन मथुर धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वारकापुरी धाम की जय। श्री श्री रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बालदेव सुभाष जी की जय। श्री श्री परम करुण गौर नीताय की जय। गंगमाई जमुनमाई की जय। महारानी तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। शील प्रभुपाद की जय। शील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। श्री बृहद मृदंग की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शील प्रभुपाद। श्री ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। श्रीमद भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 22 इन द मैटर of the meeting of Prithu Maharaj with the Kumaras. Text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Word for word. Prana, Dara, Sutta, Brahman, Griha, Cha, Sa, Parikshada, Rajam, Balam, Mahi, Kosha, Iti, Sarvam, Niveditam, Prana Dara Sutta Brahman, Grihascha Saparichchada, Rajam Balam Mahi Kosha, Iti sarvam niveditam. Prana dhara sutta brahman. Grihascha saparichchada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadarasuta Brahman Grihascha Saparichchada Rajam Balam Mahikosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam. Grihascha saparichada Rajam balam mahi kosha Iti sarvam niveditam Pranadara suta brahman Grihascha saparichada Rajam balam mahi kosha iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadarasuta brahman. Grihascha sa parichchada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadarasuta brahman. Grihascha sa parichchada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadara suta brahman. Grihascha sa parichchada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Mothers. Pranadara suta brahman. Grihascha sa parichada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadara suta brahman. Grihascha sa parichada. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Pranadara suta brahman. Grihascha sa parichada. Mahi. Rajam balam mahi kosha. Iti sarvam niveditam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prana, life. Dara, wife. Sutta, children. Brahman, O great Brahmana. Griha, home. Cha, also. Sa, with. Parichchada, all paraphernalia. Rajam, kingdom. Balam, strength. Mahi, land. Kosha, treasury. Iti, thus. Sarvam, everything. Niveditam, offered. Translation. The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury, are all offered unto you. Purport. In some readings, the word dara is not used, but the word used then is raya, which means wealth. In India, there are still wealthy persons who are recognized by the state as Raya. A great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called Ramananda Raya because he was governor of Madras and very rich. There are still many holders of the title Raya, like Raya Bahadur, Raya Choudhury, and so on. The dara, or wife, is not permitted to be offered to the Brahmanas. Everything is offered to worthy persons who are able to accept charity. But nowhere is it found that one offers his wife. Therefore, in this case, the reading Raya is more accurate than Dara. Also, since Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras, the word Kosha, treasury, need not be separately mentioned. Kings and emperors used to keep a private treasury, which was known as Ratna Bandha. The Ratna Bandha was a special treasury room which contained special jewelries, such as bangles, necklaces, and so on, which were presented to the king by the citizens. This jewelry was kept separate from the regular treasury house where all the collected revenues were kept. Thus, Prithu Maharaj offered his stock of private jewelry to the lotus feet of the Kumaras. It has already been admitted that all the king's property belonged to the Brahmanas and that Prithu Maharaj was simply using it for the welfare of the state. If it were actually the property of the Brahmanas, how could it be offered again to them? In this regard, Sripad Sridhar Swami has explained that this offering is just like the servant's offering of food to his master. The food already belongs to the master, for the master has purchased it, but the servant, by preparing food, makes it acceptable to the master and thus offers it to him. In this way, everything belonging to Prithu Maharaj was offered to the Kumaras. End of purport. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai Pranadara Sutta Brahman Grihascha Saparichada Rajamcha Rajam Balam Mahi Kosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam. The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the son of this age, is the sun illuminating the age and illuminating our lives. And it is our great fortune that we are in touch with this literature and that we are guided by this literature in our daily life. Perhaps the word which we should use is govern. We are governed by this literature in our life. Krishna consciousness, if it means something, principally means that we accept that life is very serious. Every aspect of life is very serious. Even up to the point of entertainment. That's the meaning that we have accepted by accepting Krishna consciousness, that we take everything very seriously. So there are so many aspects to life. And in this chapter, in this whole section about Prithu Maharaj, the aspect of government, of management, of administration is being highlighted. Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktivesha avatar, an empowered incarnation of Krishna to offer perfect government, empowered with the potency of administration, of government. Raja, he's to see over a kingdom. So, another aspect, the general aspect of the history of Prithu Maharaj is government, administration, and Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out to us throughout the scripture, but in particular in this section, the importance of government, the importance of administration. And especially in our Krishna consciousness movement, we are concerned about that. Government is very important, and the government of our own lives, because we require proper government for us to be able, we have to be properly ruled. We need to be ruled. We cannot avoid being ruled. And Prabhupada has mentioned that from the beginning of his teachings by telling us the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, how we are all servants, how the nature of the living being is to be a servant. So that means that we always have a master. And he explained it in such a way that there's no way to avoid this condition of being ruled. And he made it so clear that when we think we're not being ruled by anyone, we are being ruled by the senses, many times by a dog or a cat or a cat. So being ruled, we all must be. And we are very fortunate that we are being ruled by the devotees, by the Vaishnavas. Very special. A situation that we have been placed, that we are governed by devotees. So, coming to this new Dwarka community, it is a brilliant example of a very well-managed temple in Krishna consciousness. And it's very encouraging. Krishna consciousness, life in Krishna consciousness should be like this. This community offers the greatest benefit for all of humankind, the possibility. Prabhupada said, today we will be speaking on charity. As we see, these particular texts are referring to Prithu Maharaj offering charity to the Kumaras. So the topic of charity, although ordinarily people don't think much about charity, they either decide whether to give it or not. But they, as we were saying, everything in Krishna consciousness is taken very seriously and is analyzed from a superior point of view, from a transcendental point of view. So, the management of a temple is important, I was saying. Because we require a peaceful environment. We require a particular environment to develop in our Krishna consciousness. And we were saying that this temple in particular is offering us the opportunity to be engaged. I wanted to say that Krishna consciousness was said by Prabhupada to be the greatest welfare activity. We're not a charitable institution. And at the same time, Krishna consciousness represents the greatest welfare activity. So what is that welfare? What is that charity that we are offering? And that is the opportunity to be at every moment serving Krishna with love, Krishna prema. So this opportunity is very nicely offered to us in this community. And it is vastly depending on the management. This history, which began with the story of King Vena and the actual appearance of King Prithu, in contrast to King Vena, indicates how terrible or how good management can be. So I think it is, I won't belabor the point, how important and how nice it is for us to be managed, to be ruled by devotees, which is shielding us from the other government, in one sense. These temples are havens, are oases, in the midst of all these cities that are not devotionally managed, that are not perfectly managed. And we will hear more of that in tomorrow's text. So In this conversation, we're always concerned in our studies of Srimad Bhagavatam how this applies to us, how what we are studying applies to us. And in this conversation, in this particular section, we may think, in regards to Prithu Maharaj and the Kumaras, who do we represent? And particularly, who should we identify with? Prithu Maharaj is, in this text, offering all his wealth, all his everything to the Kumaras. And the Kumaras are the recipients of such charity. So are we representing Prithu or the Kumaras? And in this text, we are definitely representing the Kumaras, the recipients of charity. I have made some notes about that. Just consider the responsibility that this places us in by being recipients of charity. Not only the kings, no one is moved generally by a rich or wealthy person offering riches, offering some of part of the riches. So we are definitely, we don't have any problem generally with accepting such riches, such charity. But our position should be such, the position of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is such, that not only wealthy people are to offer this kind of charity, the one that we are to receive, but even the poor and needy, even the beggars. According to the Varnashram institution, and interestingly enough, according also to most other cultures, maybe all cultures, we are lawfully to be supported by charity. This charity is generally to be offered by the grihastas, the householders, and we should be so qualified individually and as an institution that we be worthy of receiving even that one penny from the pauper. There is that statement that the pauper is proud of his penny. So even the needy, we are to accept such charity. Now, what right do we have to be in such a position? There are so many instructions by Srila Prabhupada about the seriousness of this accepting charity. I want to read an excerpt from the story of Ajamila as depicted in the Second Chance, which is composed by Srila Prabhupada's instructions, Srila Prabhupada's lectures on that section of the Bhagavatam. This is subtitled Debts to Pay. Ajamil repented his negligence in performing his duty to his wife, father, and mother. It is the duty of grown-up children to render service to their aged parents. This practice should be reintroduced into present society. Otherwise, what is the use of family life? Proper family life means that the husband should be protective, the wife chaste, and the children grateful to their father and mother. Children should think, my father and mother gave me so much service. When I was unable to walk, they carried me. When I was unable to eat, they fed me. They gave me an education. They gave me life. A bona fide son thinks of ways to render service to his father and mother. And just as a woman is expected to be faithful to her husband, so the husband should be grateful for her service and protect her. Because of his association with a prostitute, however, Ajamil had abandoned all his duties. Regretting this, he now considered himself quite fallen. According to the Vedic social system, as soon as one takes birth, he becomes indebted to so many persons. We are indebted to the rishis or great sages because we derive knowledge from their transcendental writings, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. The authors of the scriptures know past, present, and future. And we are urged to take advantage of such invaluable knowledge. Thus we are indebted to the sages. We are also indebted to the demigods, for they manage the affairs of the universe, supplying it with every essential: sunshine from the sun god Surya, moonshine from the moon god Chandra, air from Vayu, and so on. Each element is controlled by a particular demigod. We are also indebted to ordinary living entities from whom we take service. For example, we take milk from the cow. According to Vedic understanding, the cow is considered one of our mothers because we drink her milk, just as at birth we drink our mother's milk. The Srimad Bhagavatam lists 7 mothers: our own mother, the wife of our teacher or spiritual master, the wife of a brahmana, the wife of the king, the nurse, the cow, and the earth. We are indebted to all 7 of these mothers, and also to our father, brothers, friends, relatives, and forefathers. Now here comes the section in which the seriousness of receiving charity is now discussed. Also, if someone accepts charity, he becomes indebted. And that debt has to be repaid, just as borrowed money must be repaid. Therefore, devotees should not accept charity from anyone unless they intend to spend it in Krishna's service. For a devotee to accept donations just to satisfy his belly is a great sin. Brahmanas and sannyasis who accept charity from others must accept it with great caution. According to the Vedic social structure, only the brahmachari, sannyasi, and brahmana are allowed to collect money in charity. An ordinary householder must not. The brahmachari may collect alms from the public for serving his spiritual master, and a sannyasi may collect money for serving God, Krishna. The Vedas likewise direct people to give charity to the brahmanas because they know how to spend it for Krishna. Charity given to a worthy person is in the mode of goodness. Charity given for one's own personal benefit is touched with the mode of passion. And charity given without any consideration is sunk in the mode of ignorance. For instance, if we give money to a rascal, he will likely take it to the nearest liquor shop. Those who are rich may think it does not matter. They can afford not to discriminate. But the scriptures describe these 3 kinds of charity. We may well ask, how can we hope to liquidate all these debts? The answer is only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna or Mukunda. The name Mukunda indicates one who liberates us from material contamination. We are indebted to the demigods, but we cannot take shelter of them. If we actually want shelter, we should take shelter of Krishna, because he alone can free us from all debts. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if he excuses us, then all other departmental managers, such as the demigods, must also excuse us. There is so much to say, so many different angles by which we can analyze charity. And I wanted also to point out that although the householders, one time I heard a comment from a god brother that sometimes he felt as a walking wallet in relation to other devotees. So it should not be misunderstood what the position of a householder brahmana, householder grihasta, a grihasta brahmana, an initiated devotee, has in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada describes, although he places, Srila Prabhupada places on the one hand all the weight of the maintenance of society, and particularly of the religious society is placed on the householders. On the other hand, he also mentions the high position that internally a householder may have, as good as any other member of the Krishna consciousness movement who is engaged in priestly activities. In the few minutes left, I will read some of Srila Prabhupada's teachings to underscore this. In the 3rd canto, he speaks about the responsibility of the householders to maintain the other social orders, which means by charity. He says there are 4 social orders for cooperation and the endeavor for liberation from material existence: the orders of brahmacharya, or pious student life, household life with a wife, retired life, and renounced life. All depend for successful advancement on the householder who lives with a wife. This cooperation is essential for the proper functioning of the institution of the four social orders and the four spiritual orders of life. This Vedic Varnashram system is generally known as the caste system. The man who lives with a wife has a great responsibility in maintaining the members of the other social orders, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. Except for the grihastas or the householders, everyone is supposed to engage in the spiritual advancement of life, and therefore the brahmachari, the vanaprasta, and the sannyasi have very little time to earn a livelihood. They therefore collect alms from the grihastas, and thus they secure the bare necessities of life and cultivate spiritual understanding. By helping the other three sections of society cultivate spiritual values, the householder also makes advancement in spiritual life. Ultimately, every member of society automatically becomes spiritually advanced and easily crosses the ocean of nations. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada further clarifies, there is an instance in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed three of his devotees with three different duties. It is said, Mukundere kohe punas madura vachan tomara karya dharme dhana uparjan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again spoke to Mukunda with sweet words. Your duty is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. Furthermore, it is the duty of Raghunandan to always engage in Lord Krishna's service. He has no other intention but the service of Lord Krishna. A different duty. And the third duty, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Narahari, I wish you to remain here with my devotees. In this way, the three of you should always execute these three duties for the service of the Lord. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set forth three duties for three different people. Mukunda was to earn money and follow the religious principles, whereas Narahari was to remain with the Lord's devotees, and Raghunandan was to engage in the Lord's service in the temple. Thus, one person worships in the temple, another earns money honestly by executing his professional duty, and yet another preaches Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Apparently, these three types of service appear separate, but actually they are not. When Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. That is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we see, out of these three duties, the first one given to Mukunda Vaidya, he was the royal physician. We may think that because he was told to earn money, that he was on a lesser position spiritually. So Srila Prabhupada, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, related a story just to indicate an incident that happened with Mukunda Vaidya, just to indicate his high position in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains it in the purport to these texts. Bahir Raja Vaidya Inyo Kare Raja Seva Antarya Krishna Prema Yuhara Janibeka Keva. Mukunda Das externally appears to be a royal physician engaged in governmental service, but internally he has a deep love for Krishna. Who can understand his love? If you all remember, what happened was that Mukunda was discussing, I believe, medical matters with the king on a high platform. And while they were talking, and it's interesting also that he was the doctor to a Muslim king. And while he was discussing these matters with the king, one of the king's servants came with a sunscreen made of peacock feathers. So like a peacock fan, one of those long peacock fans, and he was using it to serve as a sun, how do you call that? A shade, as a shade for the king. So when Mukunda saw the peacock feathers, immediately it reminded him of Krishna, and he fell in ecstasy. He felt totally in ecstasy and lost consciousness, external consciousness, and fell all the way from the high platform. So everybody became very concerned. It was a seemingly a big fall. So everybody went to pick him up, and the king was also there, and asked him, when he regained consciousness, asked him what happened. And Mukunda just brushed it off by saying, no, I suffer from something like epilepsy. And he just, but the king, it is said that even the king could understand that he was a special, great personality. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ends that story by telling us this. Mukunda Das externally appears to be a royal physician engaging governmental service. But internally, he has a deep love for Krishna. Who can understand his love? So Prabhupada says the following, the purport. Unless Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discloses the fact, no one can understand who is actually a great devotee of the Lord engaged in his service. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Tandra Bhakya Kriya Mudra Vigeha Nabu Jaya. Even the most perfect and learned scholar cannot understand a Vaishnava's activity. A Vaishnava may be engaged in governmental service or in a professional business so that externally one cannot understand his position. Internally, however, he may be a Nitya Siddha Vaishnava, that is, an eternally liberated Vaishnava. Externally, Mukunda Das was a royal physician, but internally he was the most liberated Paramahansa devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this very well, but ordinary men could not understand it, for the activities and plans of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by ordinary men. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representative understand everything about a devotee, even though the devotee may externally pretend to be an ordinary householder and professional businessman. So, speaking of charity, and to end, I have gone over time, and I'm sorry. I want to acknowledge the visit of these two sannyasis, Sri Srimad Bhakti Bhagyan Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, and Sri Srimad Radharaman Maharaj. Particularly today that we're speaking of charity, I wanted to point out the mission which Bhakti Pragyan Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Pragyan Maharaj is engaged. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. We all know how important preaching in Russia was for Srila Prabhupada, how our mission in Russia was for His Divine Grace. And from the very beginning, it is well known to us how many problems up to this day the movement has faced there. And we are very fortunate to count today with the visit of Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, who has been one of the heroes, one of the hero preachers, and who has had to tolerate so much, along with all the devotees there, so much opposition and attacks in Russia. And as we all know, some devotees have lost their lives there in other times. Now things are totally different by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. We all identify the success in Russia with that momentous visit, most important visit of Srila Prabhupada to Russia in 1971. Thank you. So the movement, Maharaj has embarked now, and our movement there has launched in the very important work of establishing a major Shri Radha Krishna temple for ISKCON there. And Maharaj requires the support, and the devotees in Russia, our movement in ISKCON requires the support of everyone. And he is engaged in collecting charity, very bona fide charity, to be able to accomplish this great mission. Will you show us the plans for the temple in any way? Maharaj is scheduled for class tomorrow? Sorry. You have a PowerPoint presentation or something? Something. Okay. At least to show so that it is a very, very nice what they're planning, and I think it will encourage all of us. Of course, we are particularly here in the temple the recipients of charity, but ourselves But somehow or other, if we can, in whichever way we can, we should give full support, and we wish Maharaj the best. Well, you won't be here on Sunday, no? Oh, you'll come back on Sunday? Okay. So anyway, in whichever way we can, we should cooperate, which is a major, will be a major accomplishment for our movement to be solidly established in Russia, and for our mission of continuing the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Russian devotees have joined by the flocks, and they have very sweet and nice devotees. We'll have to end there. We are way over time. I thank you very much all for your listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Rasa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari.